What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 171. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button. Wherever you're getting your podcast, subscribe, rate 5 stars, Apple, Spotify, wherever. 5 stars, subscribe. We really appreciate it. It helps us out so much. You can also check us out on YouTube, on the WEEI channel. We've got the Play Tessie playlist there. Has all of our episodes. So you can subscribe to WEEI, hit the thumbs up on our videos, leave a comment, do all that good stuff. Also on the socials, at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm here with Sammy, and I'm here with Pat. And in Red Sox world, not much has happened. Like, since we've last talked, what, they traded for Blake Sable, who is going to be the third catcher on the roster, presumably. They signed Sean Newcomb to a minor league deal. They agreed to the deal with Duran, so they're no longer going to arbitration. That's good that they're not doing that.
That's good.
Yeah, like the story would have been if they go to arbitration, but them agreeing and avoiding it isn't much of a story. I guess like there's like an option in there that like maybe leads you to think that maybe there's a chance. Yeah, doesn't it? It feels a little bit like maybe they're setting it up to maybe be able to trade him next year if they wanted to. I don't know.
Maybe. But my take on the whole Duran thing, it was kind of, and I'm guilty of this. It was kind of a nothing burger, and this happens all the time. But it's so hard not to get a little freaked out when it's Duran and it's such a small amount of money. And then the Red Sox have been so cheap lately, so we're all kind of in our own heads. But I think looking back, I kind of am like, yeah, we probably all overreacted a little bit to that.
Well, the truth is it's not an overreaction if they go to arbitration. But the second they agree to a deal, like there's no – for instance, if the Red Sox signed Alex Bregman today – like the second they agree to that deal, there's like a billion things to talk about after that. But with Duran, it's like this was always going to happen. Whether they went to ARB or not, they were going to have a dollar value for this coming year. The only thing that's even semi-noteworthy is that option. But like it's just not even close to worth talking about until you know the season that he has. So like really it's like good that they avoided arbitration. Good that they didn't take him there over $500,000. I don't know if there's that much more to be said.
I would just say, just sign Alex Bregman is how I would put it.
Do you agree with that, Pat? Sign Alex Bregman?
Yeah, that's the only thing left. Just do it. Duran's cool. I'm glad we didn't piss off Jaron and absolutely, we're not 5 minutes in, bundle him in a courtroom, make him feel like a worthless piece of crap, which is cool. But like at the same time, like it's not going to make waves. Bregman makes waves.
So I guess we can go into the stuff that did happen, and almost all of it involves the Dodgers. Shocking. But we can start with Roky Sasaki first. We knew he wasn't coming to the Red Sox pretty much from the second that since he got posted, we knew he wasn't going to be able to take a big contract. We knew he was going to sign a minor league deal. He was going to have to fit into international money, meaning like even if the Red Sox wanted him more than anyone, they couldn't pay him more than anyone. So we knew it wasn't going to be the Red Sox. It never even like they basically never even got a meeting. But there was some debate going on online, and I want to get into it here because I know that Sammy and I disagree on this, which I always like to have these conversations. Before we knew that he signed, we knew it was down to the Dodgers and the Blue Jays, and Sammy, you wanted him to sign with the Blue Jays. I wanted him to sign with the Dodgers. I'll give you first word. It didn't happen that way. But why does this outcome leave you less, I don't know. Like, I guess either outcome kind of stinks, but like, why does this outcome piss you off more than him going to the Blue Jays being in the AL East would have?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I wanted him to sign with the Padres. I thought that would have been cool for baseball. Padres-Dodgers, that rivalry is hot. Those fans do not like each other, even if they don't show up to the ballpark until the fourth inning. But I thought, I'm just kind of sick of the Dodgers. I know that the Red Sox would have to face Sasaki a lot more if he went to the Blue Jays, but the Blue Jays stink. They just finished in last place. Their farm is awful. Vlad's going to leave soon. They're not going to be good for years. So I don't know. I just don't fear the Blue Jays anymore. It would have been cool to go to Fenway and see him pitch for the Blue Jays against the Red Sox. That would have been sick as a fan, just to have that opportunity. And I know there's a chance that it would come back to hurt them. It's just, it's so boring to me seeing everyone go to the Dodgers. And, you know, when it was Yamamoto and Ohtani, I was like, oh, good for the Dodgers. That is sick. Like, these guys are really building a crazy team. But since then, they've added, like, everyone. Like, they got Flaherty for a little bit. He left, but they had him. They got friggin' the best player out of the KBO this year, Hyesung Kim. They got Tanner Scott, the best reliever on the market. They re-signed Teoscar Hernandez. I'm probably even forgetting. Blake Snell.
Blake Snell.
probably the number one pitcher on the market. They got him so early that I forgot about it. And I'm just kind of tired of it, man. Like, good for them. I know they're doing it the right way. I know. I get all that. But screw them, man. I don't want to watch them win every single time. Like, it's, and I know, you know, it's baseball. Nothing's guaranteed. It's just boring seeing all the players, all the good free agents go to the same team. So I don't know.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that, Sammy. Like, I said, like, the outcome either way, once the Padres were out of it, because I agree with you, like, the Padres out of those three teams, that's the best outcome. Increase the competition in the NL West and don't stack the Dodgers up and keep them out of the AL. Because, like, where I'll disagree, like, yes, obviously, like, very cool to see, like, a superstar pitcher, potential, like, top five pitcher in baseball. Like, we'll see what he does. But, like, his potential would be that good. Yes, it would be cool seeing him in person. But I know the Blue Jays don't necessarily scare you today. But a six-year deal, like, we have not seen the Red Sox in the playoffs in 3 years. We've seen them make the playoffs just one time since they won the World Series in 2018. So I just, like, my thought process was I just cannot root for a team that the Red Sox will see more than any other team in baseball, besides obviously the other guys in the AL East. I can't root for that team to get better. I saw a lot of people, like, healthy competition. It's like, we're not good enough to be rooting for healthy competition yet. And I know the Red Sox look like they're going in a good direction. The Blue Jays look like they're going in the opposite, but baseball has an interesting way of being unpredictable. And sometimes the teams that you don't think are going to be good are good. I don't know if anyone predicted the Cleveland Guardians winning over 90 games this past year and going to the ALCS.
I just don't mind that. I don't mind it. To me, that makes it more interesting. And of course, I want to see the Red Sox win more than anything, but, like, one guy, man.
It directly hurts you, dude. If he's,
I know.
Imagine, let's, because, like, I know, like, we haven't seen him pitch in Major League Baseball yet, but imagine if, like, the Blue Jays just got, like, I don't know. Who's really good?
Corbin Burns.
The Blue Jays got Corbin Burns, but got him on a minimum contract. Like, no, that's not good. No. That's bad.
I'd be like, oh, Sox are going to crush him. That's how I felt last year with the Orioles. I was like, bring it on. I don't know. It gets me fired up. Like, honestly, if the Yankees were, like, a 70-win team, I would be bored. I'd be like, no, I need to hate them. Like, the Yankees being in the playoffs, I wasn't happy that they were in the playoffs, but it got me more fired up than if they weren't. It gave me something to look forward to so I could hate watch them. I don't know. I like competition. Like, I don't want it to be a cakewalk for the Red. Not that it would be.
But yeah, we need to get this team. Like, I agree with you. Like, this postseason would have been, like, I thought it was one of the most entertaining postseasons just this past year that I've ever seen. And a huge part of that was that the Yankees were in it from start to finish. And I had something to root against the entire way with the Red Sox not being in it. Oh my God, we need to get the Red Sox back there. Like, we do these podcasts so many times a week and we watch all the games and we're tweeting about it nonstop. And, like, by God, I just need to see this team get back to the playoffs. And if the Blue Jays have a bunch of good players, it makes it harder, not just because those players are going to help them beat you because they play you more often than any other team does, but also that's a team that could pass you in the standings. Like, just for instance, like they signed Anthony Santander, and now their projected WAR for this coming year is higher than the Red Sox current projected WAR. Now we think the Red Sox aren't done adding, so hopefully they can change that at some point soon. But as of right now, like they're pretty neck and neck, and the Blue Jays just leapfrogged them. If they had Sasaki on their team, it'd be even more.
All right, I got a question for you. This is for both of you guys. What is more likely that, okay, if Sasaki had signed with the Blue Jays, that, you know, like they eliminate the Red Sox from the playoffs or from playoff contention or something with Sasaki, that or the Red Sox eventually meet the Dodgers in the World Series in the next few years and they have to face Sasaki and the Dodgers? What would have been more likely?
Blue Jays won for sure, because they can kill you in multiple ways. They can kill you by passing you in the standings, or they can kill you by beating you so that someone else passes you. Whereas the Dodgers, that only works if you make the World Series and they make the World Series. And everyone, and I'll pull up my stat because I tweeted this at some point. It might have been this morning, might have been yesterday.
That's a good stat.
Yeah, everyone wants to just like write this team into the World Series. And like I'm stalling while I pull it up. Here we go.
It's literally baseball. It's literally baseball. You can't pencil anyone in for shit. Look at the Yankees during their dynasty years. They missed a lot. I know they won a lot of titles, but there were a ton of years where they choked. That could very well happen to the Dodgers.
Okay, so the stat here since the year 2000, okay, there's been 25 World Series, okay?
World Series.
Sorry. Yeah, World Series. Okay? So two teams per World Series. So that's 50 World Series participants in the last 25 years. And of those 50, only 17 of those 50 had the best record in their league. 33 didn't. And only 7 times in the last 25 years did the World Series champions also have the best record in baseball. So like, yes, the Dodgers have the best roster in baseball. There's a good chance that over the course of a full 162-game season, there's a really good chance they're going to have the best record in baseball more often than not for the next decade. But that doesn't mean that they're going to make the World Series. It doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series. It doesn't even mean they're going to get out of the NLDS. Like, we've seen teams, what did the Mariners in 2001 win like 116 games? Did they make the ALCS or did they get bounced to the division series?
First round. They lost to the Yankees in the first round. Yeah.
2019 Astros.
Which scenario is or would have been more likely?
And then we need you to break the tie on the Sasaki thing too.
All right. I think it would be more likely to if it were the Dodgers.
Ooh.
I just do. I do. Hey. I just think that this will kind of perfectly play into my answer to Sammy's first question. I would not have given a rat's ass if he was a Toronto Blue Jay.
Ooh.
And I say that because Vlad and Bo are up. You have an aging, expensive roster with Springer, Gausman, Bassett, Berrios. Zero farm system. Like, that's not even being, like, harsh. Zero farm system. Sure. Look what the Toronto Blue Jays did when they had Roy Halladay in his prime. The answer is jack shit. They didn't do anything. So one single starting pitcher that you see a couple of times a year on a average to below average roster, it just doesn't scare me. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And but Pat, it's 6 years. Agree. It's 6 years. So, yes, I agree. They wouldn't scare me that much like the next couple of years, but that's a lot of time to rework a roster.
But what are they going to do? I mean, look, even if you look at their top prospects, their best prospect right now, Trey Savage, who is a guy who a lot of people are already saying is going to be a reliever. He's 94th in the top 100. Their former prospect.
It's bad.
Their former top prospect, Tiedemann, was like, he was one of the best pitchers in minor league baseball. His arm fell off, and now he's their fourth best prospect, not expected in the league until 2026. These guys are not going to be good for a long time, and it looks like they're so delusional with the Anthony Santander signing and all the guys that they're in on and them not trading Vlad that they think that they're going to have a little bit of a window left, and anyone with a functioning brain knows that they're not. So I just have no fear of the Blue Jays whatsoever for like the next 3 years or so, you know. And of course,
so
I
half, don't have the Sasaki deal. So that's half.
So then it would be 3 years of maybe them being good. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm not scared.
Gordo, answer me this. What are they going to do? Are they going to sign Shohei Ohtani? Maybe Juan Soto.
They tried, and they still have that money laying around. Like they signed
Corbin Burns.
If they sign the next big free agent in 2026, if they get Vlad Jr., watch out for the Blue Jays. They're going to be so good. Yeah. Nah, I just don't. It's the Blue Jays, man. It's like the
It's like the Washington Wizards. They can get whoever you want. You're never going to be afraid of them beating the Celtics because they're the Wizards. It's like the friggin' the Jets. The Jets get Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, and you're like, oh, good job, Jets. Good job. You're the Jets still. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, I wish he had gone to the Blue Jays. We could have gone to Fenway, see the Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 2-1 because Roman Anthony hit a solo shot off of Roki Sasaki. It was really sick. AL East matchup. But no, he's going to go be like the 18th most popular guy in the Dodgers instead. Very cool, Roki. Very cool.
It's interesting because, like, he said he wanted, or I don't know, it was reported that maybe like a, actually no, his agent said maybe a smaller market would be better for him because he doesn't love the spotlight. I know he had some issues with the Japanese media, and it's interesting because with the Dodgers, like, there's going to be obviously more Japanese media there than anywhere else. There's going to be as much, if not more, probably more media there than anywhere else. But because
Japanese
there are
media?
So many,
yeah, actually, or all media. Any media. What am I talking about? Yeah, really.
But because there are so many like superstars and superstar, not just players, but people on that team, like, he kind of can lay low a little bit. I still think he's going to deal with more there than he would have either in Toronto or San Diego. But it's interesting. It's like he is going to a bigger market, but because like Shohei Ohtani's there and like Yamamoto, and tell me if you disagree, I think that guy's going to have a huge year this year. Like, he's probably going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball this year.
If he can stay healthy. That guy, Yamamoto, he's so small for a starting pitcher. It just worries me. But the talent is undeniable. I do think in Toronto is a massive, massive sports market. Like, we joke about it because the Blue Jays are bad. But Maple Leafs, oh, my God. Hey, by the way, there's another team. They can get whoever they want. They're never going to win. It's the friggin' Maple Leafs. So, yeah, I agree. I don't know. It felt like we were getting strung along a little bit with the small market, West Coast. And then it's like, okay, he picks the Dodgers. It's just such an eye roll kind of thing. I don't think I'm a Roki guy now. I didn't mind when Yamamoto picked them coming out of Japan, but now Roki, everyone's just following Shohei.
Well, Yamamoto took the money. So like, if you take the money, I'm never going to fault you.
But sure.
Roki could have taken offers. Yes, but like he took the best team that offered him a big contract, whereas Roki took less money. Like, San Diego would have given him a $10 million bonus. They would have maxed out their international pool on him. And he said, no, I'm going to go to the Dodgers.
The friggin' Blue Jays took on Miles Straw's underwater contract from Cleveland just to get an extra $2 million. And then they miss out. Do you feel bad for... I've just ripped the Blue Jays to shreds. I feel bad for their fans, honestly. That's a lot of beating they've taken.
What they've had to deal with the last couple of years is way worse than what Red Sox fans have had to deal with for the last 2 or 3 years. You agree with that, Pat?
I mean
they are linked. So for us, it's like an aftermath kind of thing. It's like the Red Sox were in here, we're like, ah, fuck. But then like the Blue Jays, it's like they're one of 2 to 3 teams on every single big name in land. Land none of them. And like, I saw like people today like parading around the Santander signing. He's a good player. It's a good contract. He obviously makes the Blue Jays a better team. They were saying like Blue Jays finally land a marquee free agent. If I'm a Blue Jays fan, I'm livid at that sentiment because you were in on Burns, you were in on Bregman, you were in on Ohtani, Soto, like so many guys. You just got a
positive spin though. Positive spin. At least their front office is trying. We were upset. We're not upset because the Red Sox. I mean, how do I frame this properly? We're upset because it feels like the Red Sox front office isn't trying. Blue Jays fans are upset because the players aren't picking Toronto. Whether that's because of the money or whatever, at least their front office is out there making legitimate offers, it appears, and trying to get guys signed. And, you know, today, Monday, as we record, they signed a guy. And Santander is a very good player, big power, switch hitter, can play a few different positions. But that's not a marquee guy, in my humble opinion.
It did look a little bit funny. Like, and this is coming from me, a guy who thinks Santander is good and would have been, although he would have been an imperfect fit, I would have been happy had the Red Sox signed him. But it did look funny with the Blue Jays, and they've been doing it with both him and Jeff Hoffman. like their social accounts. It's like, we got him. Look at the jersey swap. It's Jeff Hoffman. It's Santander Tony Taters. Yeah.
Jeff Hoffman. His elbow is hanging on by a thread and two other teams.
It's pulled pork.
That was funny. I forget the account. I wish I took a screenshot, but some account, it was a Blue Jays account, was like, man, even the guy the Blue Jays signed, they finished in third for.
Yeah.
Jeff Hoffman. What was it?
Yeah.
The Orioles and the Braves, I think,
yeah,
a pass on him.
Yep.
Oy vey. Poor Blue Jays. Sorry, but, yeah, no, sorry for making fun of you, Blue Jays.
I do feel bad for him. I'm not going to fully let the front office off the hook, because I do feel like the biggest reason no one wants to take their money, obviously, like the tax situation there isn't ideal, and you have to live in Canada. You don't get to live in the U.S. But I think the biggest thing is that they just – you said it before, Sammy. Their farm system is in shambles, and players, when they're signing long-term deals, pay attention – to that stuff more now than they ever have. I remember when Zach Greinke signed with the Diamondbacks, and it came out in the newspapers that he was asking them about their farm system, and like he was taking a big interest in that. And I remember thinking, oh my God, like that's crazy. You never see that. Nowadays, you see that all the time. Like that was a huge deal for Soto. It seems to be a huge deal for everyone that's thinking about going to the Blue Jays. Is they look at that farm system, they look at their situation with Vlad and Bo Bichette expiring in a year, and say that this is just not. And obviously the front office is unstable. Like those guys could all be out in a year. So, I mean, it's partially on them, but I do agree they're trying. Like our gripe is that it sometimes just doesn't feel like the team is trying.
Hey, big take. You mentioned playing in Canada. I think guys actually make more money in the end if they play in Canada, because especially right now, because the Canadian dollar's down. So they're buying stuff in Canada. So whatever they're buying, like food, any toiletries and everything, is much cheaper. So I feel like maybe over time, over time, they might actually come away with more money.
They're saving so much money on their toothbrushes and like their toothpaste.
Toothbrushes, everything. Beds, hair gel. Big toiletries, beds, hair gel. Yeah, hair, 2005, people still using hair gel, brah. So yeah, I don't know, man. I heard a Toronto Blue Jays I think he was a radio guy talk about that. He's like, that's a big misnomer. You don't actually have less money playing here. But also, who knows? Who knows?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So let's talk about the Dodgers stuff a little bit more, because, I mean, obviously everyone was saying it when they signed Roky, and they pay Tanner Scott 4 years, $72 million. There was that fake Bob Nightingale account that said that the Red Sox offered more years and higher AAV. That wasn't true. Fake account there. We all got duped, including myself.
So can we before we get it, can we say, like, for people who might not know, everything the Dodgers have done, like, it has been just this offseason.
Okay. Yeah.
Go after they win the World Series. Yep. Okay. So they lose Flaherty. That's
they
bad.
They lose Flaherty.
Okay.
They lose Daniel Hudson, like, retired.
Yep.
Right?
Retired. So Kevin Kiermaier retired. That's another.
Okay.
Kiermaier retired. Kike is still a free agent.
He stinks, so who cares?
And they traded Gavin Lux. Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
About it. So since that point, those are the key subtractions, key additions to the Dodgers. You have re-signing Teoscar Hernandez. You have extending Tommy Edman. You have signing Blake Snell, signing Tanner Scott. You have signing Roky Sasaki. You have signing Michael Conforto. You have, am I missing anything?
I think that's it.
Otani's going to pitch.
Tanner Scott, Otani will pitch.
Oh, Kershaw they haven't brought back yet.
But they
maybe, yeah, they'll probably bring him back on a team-friendly deal. And yeah, and again, this is after they pretty easily beat the Yankees in the World Series by just playing regular defense. Oh, Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly, they also haven't.
Yeah, they lost Joe Kelly, have not re-signed him yet. But okay, so you laid it all out there, Pat. And the question here, because like everyone gets mad at the Dodgers and mad at the structure of baseball. And then what, Pat? You got another?
No. They didn't re-sign Michael Kopech, right? He was under contract.
Yeah, he's under contract. Oh, wait, they added Conforto. Yeah. Michael Conforto, did you say that?
Yeah, we got Conforto. Yeah,
I said, okay. I forgot Hyesung Kim.
The best KBO player of the year. So they got rid of Gavin Lux, who is not a good defender and not a great bat, for Hyesung Kim, who's a great defender and probably will be an okay bat in Major League Baseball. They upgraded second base is the short way to say it.
Yeah. And people get rightfully upset because it's frustrating when a team stacks all the talent. It sometimes can feel emotionally like, oh my God, they're like you can write in the World Series before day one. Can other teams do this is the discussion point. Because there's a lot of people that go out there and say, like, hey man, you get mad at the Dodgers for doing this. Your team could pay these guys. Like all these owners are far richer than they let on and can spend way more money than they do in almost every single case. I know Tom Ricketts at what is it, CubsCon this past weekend was like, yeah, like Cubs, we break even every year. That's a lie. They do not break like, no, fuck that. That's not true.
What an asshole. What an asshole comment to say. That's such a straight up lie to tell to a great fan base, by the way. Great fans.
One of the best.
Just yeah.
So like can anyone do this? Like can they? Like is that a thing? I think it depends. It depends on whether you're talking about Roki Sasaki or Tanner Scott when you're answering the question, but it's a question to be asked regardless.
Can any team do go ahead, Pat, you wanna go?
Yeah, pretty easily the answer is yes here. Every single team can do what the Dodgers have done.
Okay. Can every team do what the Dodgers are doing? Technically, yes. Realistically, no shot. There's only one team that has Shohei. That is huge for the Dodgers. That's part one. They also draft and develop very well. Maybe not the best, but they're very good at it. Flaws, sure, but very good. They make very smart trades. Red Sox fans, we know that. They make very smart trades. Mookie Betts. And they're not afraid to extend their own guys and spend money. So they do everything right. So yeah, technically another team can do it. But my problem is when people say, yeah, any team can do it. And it's just like that with no nuance, nothing behind it. Like, of course, I don't agree with that. I think what they're doing is incredibly difficult. They're the only team that's been able to do it in a long time. I guess the only team that's kind of close you could kind of compare is the Yankees from the 90s and the early 2000s, late 90s and early 2000s, I should say. Everyone can do what the Mets are doing. The Mets are just throwing around money. Give a ton of money to Juan Soto. Cool. Great. I wish the Red Sox had done that. They didn't. What the Dodgers are doing to me is completely different. This is a masterclass in building and maintaining a baseball team. And I think they deserve a lot more credit than they're getting. And when we say, yeah, any team can do this, I feel like it kind of shortchanges what the Dodgers have done. And, you know, I hate on them a lot. I don't like the Dodgers. Not because they're doing anything wrong, because I'm jealous as hell. I'm super jealous of them. So I hate them. And I hate when people are like, well, you can't hate them because they're doing it the right way. Yes, I can. I hate them. I'm jealous. I wish the Red Sox were doing what they're doing. So, yeah, technically, you can do what the Dodgers are doing. Any team can. But realistically, no, man, that is unbelievably hard. And there's a reason we don't see teams like this very often. They are one of one right now. And I think that's for a good reason.
Well, Sammy, I think that people can do what they're doing, but it really just the combination of being able to do everything that they're doing, like they are the best draft, sign and develop team in baseball. They spend amongst the top of the league every single year. Like if you invest in your developmental staff, invest in your people, like yes, you can your organization too can become an elite draft, sign and developing team. Teams like the Cleveland Guardians, the Tampa Bay Rays, like you see it with them. So that's possible. You could also choose to spend money. These owners are almost always capable of spending what teams like the Dodgers are spending. They just have other priorities. And like you see quotes from like the Phillies owner where he's like, listen, I just like want my legacy. I want to win a World Series. With the Dodgers, like, yeah, you have an owner that cares about winning. The truth, though, is the one thing the Dodgers, and you had it, Sammy, the one thing the Dodgers have is Shohei Ohtani, and that's going to benefit you with a circumstance like Roki Sasaki. It's going to benefit you with a circumstance like Yoshinobu Yamamoto. These guys wanted to play with them. Like, okay, Japanese guys, back-to-back years, like, yeah, they're going to want to be on the West Coast, and they're going to want to play with Shohei. That's going to benefit them. But you know what hurt them? They couldn't get Juan Soto. They wanted Juan Soto. They couldn't get him because he didn't want to be on the West Coast. So it hurts them in other – like, they're not – like, it's not perfect. They can't be the perfect destination for every player. But guess what? If you have one of the best developmental staffs in baseball and you're willing to pay top dollar and you've got an amazing major league team that's all locked up and is coming off a World Series, like, yeah, you're going to be an attractive destination for players. So if you offer a comparable salary to what someone else is offering, then, like, yeah, he's probably going to the Dodgers. That's just the way it's going to be. If you don't like it, offer more.
Yeah, and another thing, like Los Angeles is appealing to people. I have no interest in spending any amount of time in Los Angeles. I've spent plenty of time there. It's not for me. But for a lot of people, the glitz and the glamour and the nice weather and then, you know, LA, that's really cool. I have a really hard time envisioning, just for example, the Cincinnati Reds ever building a team close to this. How are they going to woo free agents, especially overseas guys? Hey, do you want to come live in Cincinnati? We'll pay you a ton.
But that's even more than the Dodgers. The overseas stuff is rare. The overseas stuff is like, that's like a last couple of years.
But this is the Dodgers. But that's my point, though. This is the Dodgers. Ohtani, Yamamoto, Sasaki, Kim, all from NPB and KBO. Like, that's huge. That's part of what they do is they attract these guys. They get the best overseas talent.
They get the best, like, Asia talent. Whereas, like,
yeah.
The guys from the Dominican Republic often want to stay east because it's all about flights to their home country.
Yeah, less so though. Less so. I don't know. It just doesn't feel the same. Soto. Like it. Soto, yeah, but that's just one guy. I don't know. Teoscar didn't want to play for the Red Sox, but you know we can't be.
Yeah, he did.
Well, he did. Fine. All right. So if it's not, well, kind of.
Until he won the World Series with the Dodgers, he did.
Yeah. But okay, maybe not overseas then. KBO and NPB, those are the two best leagues outside of Major League Baseball, and all the best players want to go play for the friggin' Dodgers.
Then spend, like, we'll use the Cincinnati Reds for the example here. If you don't like it, spend more money. If you don't like if your issue is like what the Blue Jays are doing and you're offering a bunch of money but no one's taking it, then you got to look inward, man. Like you see
right,
with the Cardinals.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't like when people say anyone can do what the Dodgers are doing. Because you just there. You explained it, Gordo.
But do it. Hmm? No, but they can. But they can do it. Invest in your people. Put a better product on the field because you then you improve your farm system. You get better players. They're developing at the major league level because you got a good staff. And if you spend money on outside talent to fill the holes, if your owner is willing to do that, then you can basically compete with the Dodgers. The only thing they're going to have over you is that it's LA and that they have Ohtani. But Ohtani's not going to last.
That's forever. Huge. That's huge, though. That's agreed, like being like
then,
the only.
Then
thing
offer more. Then offer
but
more.
But that's like saying money. the only thing your basketball team has over mine is you have LeBron James. Like, come on, that's a
then
huge
spend
difference.
More money.
We
that's not the same. That's the Mets.
We're glossing over a major point here. But the Dodgers have Ohtani.
Every team in Major League Baseball had the opportunity to sign Shohei Ohtani.
Yes, agreed. The Red Sox didn't even try.
Yeah, so the teams that didn't try who are now pissed about it, then go sign Shohei Ohtani. Go sign somebody that's a draw.
It's too late.
Wait. I have right here, per team, revenue, and then percent of revenue put back into payroll, okay? You have teams like the Rockies, Royals, Angels, and Brewers who reinvest more of what they make into their payroll than the Cubs and the Red Sox, who make the third and fourth most money in the league, more than the Yankees, which kind of is skewed because they make an exorbitant amount of money. But like, you're telling me if the Sox even met the percentage of revenue put back into payroll that teams like the Rockies, Royals, Angels, and Brewers do, they couldn't go and get an Ohtani. They couldn't outbid on a Snell.
Nobody should have.
Nobody in
baseball, for God knows what reason, didn't want Freddie Freeman. The Dodgers had the balls to go get Freddie Freeman. Mookie Betts had a for sale sign stapled to his chest. Any team in baseball could have had Mookie Betts. The Dodgers are the only team that did it. The Dodgers are the only baseball team right now with balls. It does not come down to smart allocation of money.
Mets? What about the Mets? The Mets have balls? They just spent $780
Yeah, no, I get that.
They've got balls.
What I'm saying is, like, this whole, like, the Dodgers are ruining, nobody can keep up with the, yes, they can. Everybody can keep up with the Dodgers.
Okay, sure. Pat, maybe not. Then I have a question. Okay. I have a question then. Is it bad for baseball? And if your answer is yes, then whose fault is it? Like, is it bad for baseball that the Dodgers are doing this? And if your answer is yes, do you blame the Dodgers or do you blame the teams that aren't doing it?
No, it's bad for baseball, and it's bad for baseball because of the 29 other owners and teams. The Dodgers are the only team that is spending money and winning games. Every other team can sit there and bitch and moan, but they're not doing anything to compete with it.
Can I make an argument?
Mm. Go.
My argument is that it's good for baseball. Like, the NBA's ratings were never higher than when the Warriors got Kevin Durant and were the villains of basketball. You've got a very unique opportunity that we haven't really seen since, Sammy, you brought up the Yankee dynasty of the 90s. Like, we haven't really seen a roster built like this. Maybe the Astros. And you saw it with the Astros. Like, when there's a team or people out there that are hateable, villains, a team people. Like, we talked about it with the postseason. Like, we watched a ton of playoff baseball this year because we wanted to root against the Yankees, hate watch, like, please, somebody beat them. That's going to be 29 other major league cities watching the postseason this year, praying that someone's going to beat the Dodgers. It's good for the game. And I read my stat before, but guess what? The likelihood is that the Dodgers aren't even going to make the World Series if you go based off of the best records in the league. Now, I know the Dodgers probably are going to be better than a lot of those teams that finish with the best record, but like, there's a really good chance that they're not even going to make the World Series, and it's going to be,
yeah. Like, field is always the favorite. The field is always going to be the favorite. Yeah,
it's going to be great. It's going to be great cinema when they do get bounced in the NLDS one of these next couple of years. Like, it's going to be awesome. People are going to love it.
No, I think that the people who say it's bad for baseball, that's not. I don't agree with that. There are a lot of, you know, people who do feel that way, and I understand it. I get where they're coming from, but if I had to pick a side, no, I don't think it's bad for baseball. My contention is saying anyone can do it. I don't think anyone can be the Dodgers, but I also don't think having an outlier team like the Dodgers, I don't think that's bad for the sport at all. That's one argument I've never really jumped on the side of.
So yeah, just someone's got to beat the Dodgers. I appreciated them. I will not hate on them because they beat the Yankees last year, and I think I just have to be grateful for that for a little while. But like,
yeah.
I'm definitely open to the idea of hating them in the future. It would help if they had more hateable personalities.
I don't care about that at all. I don't care about that at all. The hateable personalities, that does nothing for me.
How can you hate Ohtani's team?
Like, how could I hate Ohtani? Because they're doing everything I want my team to do, and I'm sick of seeing it. And it's
your emotions are mixed. You're getting jealousy and hatred jumbled together.
No, they're one in the same when it comes to sports. You're not doing this, but I hate when people police who I hate. That is the most annoying thing ever. People are like, oh, why do you hate the Dodgers? Doing it the right way. Shut the stop. I hate them. I'm jealous and I hate them. I hate when people do that. Every time I post about the Dodgers, someone says that. They're like, well, I really don't know. Why would you hate them? Why would I hate them? It's just like someone gets the dream job that you want, but they did it the right way. Why do you hate them? Because they got the job I want.
That's a fair point.
And I will never say they're doing anything the wrong way. They're doing it the exact right way. They're unbelievably impressive. When we look back on them, we're going to be like, this is the model franchise you want to be like. But fuck them.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
scores!
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So before we get to Nuff Said, we actually did mention the name Alex Bregman, but we didn't really talk about it. That's right. We said that like literally right off the bat on the show, didn't we? Said the Red Sox should sign him.
It's like part of my contract is I have to say sign Alex Bregman every day.
Do that. But the updates since we last recorded are he doesn't want a short-term deal. John Heyman said Tigers and Sox are most likely. Robert Murray said the process is going to be a long one. But what I do want to get into here is the fact that the Blue Jays signed Santander. We just talked a bunch about the Blue Jays. They're now, I believe, maybe 20-ish mil. The number I had before was 18 million away from the third CBT line, but I think it's actually a little bit more because they deferred a bunch of the money. So it's somewhere around $20 million from the third CBT line for a team that we all agree does not look that great. Even though the Blue Jays, like reporters, the Blue Jays beat people, they're all saying the Blue Jays have more flexibility to spend. They're saying it more so in the context of Pete Alonso, which I feel like makes no sense for them if they want to extend Vlad Jr. You can't really have Vlad, Alonso, and Santander on that roster long term. But aside from the point, does them signing Santander make you guys feel any more confident? Or should I say, I'll phrase it like this. Does it make you feel more sure that the Blue Jays aren't going to spend that money that they've got sitting in their back pocket on Bregman?
Yeah. Yeah, I already didn't really take them seriously as a suitor for Bregman. Not because of them, because I think Bregman, well, actually, yes, because of them. I think Bregman, you know, he's going to be 31 on opening day. He's probably got 3 or 4 more seasons of being a high-level performer in Major League Baseball, and I'm sure he wants to win. So when you look at a team like the Blue Jays, who, as we said, terrible farm system, not a great Major League team, just finishing last place, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. That's baseball, Susan. I don't think they ever had a shot with Bregman. I still think the Red Sox are going to sign him eventually. The only team that concerns me a bit is the Tigers, and it seems like he doesn't want to play for them. And then caveat on that, again, if the Phillies move Alec Bohm, I'm going to start sweating that Bregman's going to go to the Phillies. So let's wrap this up, Red Sox. Let's not let that happen.
Pat?
Yeah. I'm not going to say super. I was fairly confident that in the end, Bregman would end up with the Sox. I was probably like, you know, maybe 55 the field, 45% the Sox. Another reason, aside from the Santander thing, is Ben Nicholson-Smith, for those who don't know, is like the Blue Jays' Alex Speer. Like, he is the inside guy for everything Blue Jays. He wrote a really good article about how they completely just threw up all over themselves in that Miles Straw trade and what the pivot was after losing on Sasaki. And he had mentioned Alonso and he mentioned Santander. There was no mention of Bregman. And I don't think that he has ever mentioned Alex Bregman. So if guys like that are not mentioning Bregman and you're hearing it from the Heymans and the Morosis of the world, I don't think they're a suitor. I don't think they go over the budget for a Bregman. I don't even think they should for an Alonso, but maybe they will. I'm with Sammy. I think it is truly down to the Red Sox and the Tigers, and I do not think he's going to Detroit.
I agree with you on the Blue Jays stuff there, Pat. I think you got to read the tea leaves here. Like those people, like the Ben Nicholson Smiths and people, I think they're called Sportsnet out there. The people who work for Sportsnet, they were pumping up the Santander thing way before it happened, saying the Blue Jays had offers on the table. Like, this is the guy they're going after. They're going to try to make this thing work. They're not that far apart. And wouldn't you figure it happened? They got Santander. They have, you're right, Pat, have not mentioned Bregman practically ever. The Bregman stuff only comes from like the national people who are saying, yeah, like the Blue Jays have all this money that they want to spend and haven't spent. So my thing there is I don't think he's going to the Blue Jays. I think he would be a better fit than Alonso with the Blue Jays, but it kind of doesn't, like Sometimes fit doesn't matter when you're predicting things. It's a matter of like, what does the team want to do? And it just doesn't sound like they're there.
I will add, I think the Mets have a shot too, especially if they're not bringing back Alonso. That's another one. Third base for them is pretty brutal right now. It's either you play Mark Vientos there, who's a good player, but he's awful defensively. It's either that or you have like Brett Beatty, who's been pretty brutal.
I was reading the other day, they're going into spring training with as constructed, Vientos is going to first, and then it's a position battle with Brett Beatty, Ronnie Mauricio, and Luis Angel Acuña.
Yeah, so, I mean, none of those third base names are super appealing. I guess Acuña has some upside, but he's, I don't know. So I could see it, but I agree. It's more, it sounds like they're going to do that, what Pat just said. But who knows? It's the Mets.
Well, the key here is just, and I'll loop the Cubs in here too, because there was obviously that report that they briefly or like casually talked to Boris about a short-term with opt-outs deal with Bregman. If the Red Sox offer him like a 5-year deal, like he's theirs. Because like for obvious reasons, he's going to want to be a Red Sox more than he's going to want to be a Tiger. I think we can confidently say that that's not even fully just like based off of assumptions. We can know that he would rather be a Red Sox than a Tiger if all things were equal. The issue is, and like those are the only two teams I see as being possibilities for the type of deal that he's seeking in terms of just like he doesn't want the short-term deal with opt-outs. But if it gets to that point where the short-term deal with opt-outs is in play, that's where you can start to worry about teams like the Mets, like the Cubs, even maybe the Phillies. Like this is, and maybe it's a credit to the Red Sox, and maybe this is why they haven't made that offer yet, is because they don't think anyone's going to make that offer. Because maybe the Tigers have made that offer. I don't know, but clearly no team that he wants to go to has made that offer. Otherwise, he'd be signed. Otherwise, we'd be hearing a little bit more smoke than we're hearing. Like, still, to this day, the most smoke that we hear is about the Red Sox and the Tigers. And, yeah, like, he would pick the Red Sox if those deals were equal.
Cubs? A little bit?
Not as much.
No.
I mean, yeah. I personally don't buy into the whole, like, what Jed Hoyer said they were going to look internally at third base. I don't buy, like... Giants said that about their team last year, and they ended up signing Blake Snell and Matt Chapman after that. So GMs are going to say that, but
that was also like at the buzzer. So that's a little nuance needed there. I don't know. Either way, regardless, just based on the tone of this conversation, Red Sox got to get this done. There's really, really no excuse if they don't get this done. And it'll be the first time this offseason that I'm actually like angry at the Red Sox if they let Bregman go elsewhere. It seems so clear. The fit is so good, and it allows you to keep Yoshida and recoup his value if you really want to move him. So I just don't get it. I don't get why it's not. Well, I do get why it's not already done. They're playing a game of chicken, but I wish they weren't. So sign Bregman.
I would just feel a little bit more confident about the whole situation if we just heard like, yeah, the Red Sox have a 4-year deal on the table.
Yeah,
like if we just heard that.
One more. Yeah, just come on. Yeah. We haven't heard anything.
That's what it was with Santander. Like the Blue Jays and Santander were in a staring contest for over a week because the
Sox
Blue Jays
aren't
were
like
4
that
years.
Though. We rarely hear, "Oh, they offered this and then it happens." Like it comes out of nowhere. Like JD Martinez kind of we were hypothesizing that they were waiting out his market, but the deal just happened. So we'll see. Crochet trade just happened. So they work in the shadows.
But it's like, what needs to happen? Like, what is going to push them? Like, what is going to be the thing? Like, with Crochet, like, Max Fried signing with the Yankees is what pushed them to pivot and go all in that direction. What is supposed to happen for them to pivot and make that offer to Bregman?
Time. Break. Someone's got to break.
So they're just not going to be willing to go 5 years then? Like, it's going to be Bregman's market coming down. That's a big gamble.
If Bregman's like, "Oh, I'm going to this team. All you got to do is I don't know. It's stressful. The more I talk about it, the more nervous I get. So let's move on."
Yeah. Well, we'll get into some Nuff Said before we get on out of here. But yeah, just sign Alex Bregman. Anyone want to go first for Nuff Said?
Yeah, I can. Today, Monday, as we record, is the what's the game called? College football national championship. Okay. Here's my take. Try to change my mind. College football is minor league football.
I'm not going to try to change your mind. I don't really watch much college football, and for me, it's like college sports, there's just so much turnover on the teams, and it's just like it's so hard to learn the players. I have to be all in on it. I have to like know what's going on. So yeah, like I stay in my
lane.
Need
a horse in the race.
Yeah. Like I stay in my lane, like mostly just like MLB, NBA, NFL, and like I either know a ton about it or I know very little.
Yeah, I just like I can't watch like Notre Dame, Ohio. Like I have negative interest in watching. It's just like I have no connection to either team. I don't know any of the players on the team. They're all going to be gone in a year. They're not as good as NFL players. It's a slower game, and it's like, oh, it's so pure. The students are so loud. Like I don't care. It's a minor league sport to me.
I disagree. I think everyone it's so much does. Faster.
I'm in
no,
the
no. I think it's so. I since we started the recording with championship game has been going on right in front of me behind my laptop. It's. Don't get me wrong. I'm not nearly as invested as I am in the Patriots, but it's damn good football and it's entertaining.
Yeah, no, I get why people would be entertained by it. It's just like how does someone not say like I don't know. Don't you think it's just a lesser product? I don't know. I'm just not a big college football guy.
Yeah,
Pat, you got enough said.
Ooh, yeah, I do. Short and sweet. Go Bills.
Oh, come on. Ew, dude.
I'm with you, Pat.
Both teams to lose. Everyone lose. I want the Bills to lose, and I want the Chiefs to lose in the Super Bowl.
I'm with you, Pat. I'm with you. I will not root for
I can't say go Bills. You can't say go. You can't be a Patriots fan and say go Bills. Ugh. Bills suck.
My enough said. So we've got an interview dropping for you guys. I believe if you're listening on drop day, it's going to be tomorrow. I believe. So we got an interview with a new member of the Red Sox, and it's a good one. And he's a great dude, and we'll be dropping that into your feeds. But very very excited for you guys to hear that. He's a great dude, and you know we'll be rooting for him this spring, but. That's all I'll give for this one. You'll hear the interview. It's good dude and really interesting guy. Great story. That's my enough said. Viva Anthony, the Red Sox fan, standing up for the people that rock, the people that are bussing and trashing the one guy that is not bussing that I will not name. Shout out to him for doing that. Love that guy. But yeah, that'll be it for this edition of Play Tessie, episode 171. We appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Subscribe where you get your podcasts, 5 stars, all that jazz. Find us on YouTube, WEI channel. We've got the Play Tessie playlist. You can subscribe to WEI. You can hit the thumbs up on our videos. You can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. We obviously post when episodes go out there. We post highlights of our episodes. We post interview clips with players there. But you can find out when episodes drop by following us there. You can find out when they drop by subscribing. So do all of those things. Very helpful to you. Very helpful to us. But till next time, for Sammy and for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo. Remember, tune in tomorrow for our bonus episode of the week of Play Tessie. But till then, thanks for tuning in to this one. Peace.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.